And we're back. Our next speaker is Günther Deschner from Red Hat, who is also a member of the Samba team, and he will talk to you about joining a domain the Windows way.
Right, yeah, hello. Oh, apparently still a lot of people are still eating cake and drinking coffee. Nonetheless, let's just start. I mean, a couple of people have seen some information about this topic I'm going to talk about already during this tutorial I gave, so this is actually repeating some of this information which has been given there already. So I will plan to talk about some changes that we have made to the latest Samba release, to Samba 3.2, with regards to having a more programmatic approach to join Samba workstation and servers into Active Directory domains, also into NT domains. We've done a couple of work in this area. So first of all, let's just summarize a little bit what was the current way of actually bringing Samba into a Windows domain. So you were using the netrpc join or netads join command, whether you would actually prefer to use merely RPC methods for the joining, or if you would like to involve all the Active Directory protocols. All this code has then been just implemented inside of the net binary. So this was giving some problems. I will describe those later on. So it was just a monolithic binary which you would call to actually do the join. And then you also needed to just have your entire configuration of the Samba system pre-configured. You need to enter the correct settings in the SME.conf file in order to actually be able to do the join. So this was just a given, absolutely required. Yeah, then in particular for third-party application, for vendors, for other people who actually wanted to use this code base to bring Samba into domains, they were just basically calling to some extent some wrapping around the net binary, and then even in case of there was a failure, like the domain controller could not be found or something similar, then they just ended up with parsing the standard output, which is of course not a very suitable approach to really get good information. So we were not returning proper error codes, or it was really a hard business for those people. So we seriously wanted to change this and to come up with a better solution to provide more flexibility in this area. So I will constantly do a couple of demonstrations. So don't hesitate to call me anything whenever you like. Just so few people, won't be a big deal. So let's just try. If I would say netads join with just an empty configuration file, it would just immediately fail, telling me, oh yeah, you're not configured to be a member server. So I actually need to add all this information, tell it, okay, I want to be, let's say, a member server like this. When I call it again, it says, oh, you haven't got your realm set in the smb.conf file, you need to do this as well. Okay, so I need to go to my Windows administrator, retrieve this particular information, what is actually the domain of our Windows environment called like. And then you also need to add the workgroup name and stuff like this. So this is all information you have to be provided beforehand. And once you got all this information there, then you could just say, okay, I want to join this domain. Okay, and then you made this, and you will go to your Active Directory server and look into the computers folder, and now you will see my workstation, which is called MT Helena, which is now part of the domain. So this is how stuff was going for the all the Samba releases up to the most current one. So there have been a couple of changes. First of all, when you just attended to the talk of Michael Adam, he was working on this very beautiful library which provides a more programmatic access to actually store Samba configuration parameters inside of the registry. So this was of course something I really would like to use, to be one of the first consumers of this code. Then of course we added support for joining Windows 2008, which all the old releases are not able to do correctly. We need to do some work in this area. Then we also offer a new shared library, which is called LibNet API, rather similar to the one which Rafael in his talk has talked about this afternoon, which then provides the NetJoy domain call, which is just a very simple call with just a few amount of parameters. You just feed it with those arguments, and it will then just provide the same functionality like this old NetAdius join code. Then we also discovered a means of being able to join ourselves remotely and even to be joined from remote. So there was some crypto puzzle we needed to solve on this one, and we worked it out. And then finally we came up with the idea that now that we have worked on abstractions and on programmatic access in so many areas, why just don't we plug all this together and come up with for example, a GUI application which we can use for joining, which is then merely using Samba code internally, uses our shared libraries and all this infrastructure that we have been working on. So first of all, based on the foundation of Michael Adam's work with this libsmb.conf internal interface, let's just try to demo how we can make use of this in our scenario. Yeah, I guess I don't have to repeat a lot of information about this one. Michael has showed how you can actually use Samba applications, the NetConf utility, to actually list your current configuration, to modify it, and so forth. And if you're not just, if you just do not prefer to use the NetConf utility, you can always just use your Windows workstation and then connect via the registry application to directly set your options appropriately. So there are a couple of means where you can actually go to and modify your Samba system accordingly. So the only thing you actually need to set to make all this enabled, Michael has talked about this, is the config backend equals registry setting. And I'm just showing how we can make use of this. So I have added this information by hand in there. Now let's just assume I'm just very lazy and type in here config backend equals registry. So if I just call test parm or any other utility, it will just tell me that there is no configuration set wherever, neither in smb.conf file, neither in the registry. And I can now just go ahead and say, right. In that case, of course, I need to actually say to which domain I want to join. So the utility will then expect that you at least give it one piece of information so that it's able to find the rest of the information required. I just say, okay, secret, what's my password? Just refresh the view so it got recreated the machine account. If I just list my configuration so it has identified all the required settings which are suitable for this domain by itself. So I could do a similar thing. Let's say, okay, I'm sick of being a member of a domain. I just want to leave again. And it will just come up with an empty configuration again and will have removed the machine account and stuff like this as well. Just go to refresh this view, so the machine account is gone. The same thing is, I've been just working on this code, so this is something which probably isn't committed right now. If I say, okay, now let's just assume, I have an NT4 domain running here as well. Let's just join this one, it has a different password. Okay, some ugly debugging output, I'm sorry for that one, but it joined an NT4 domain, in fact. This the code which was initially only designed to be suitable for a NetAdius join. It's just internally identifying, okay, I am not, in fact, talking to an Active Directory domain server, so it's then, of course, not setting security equals ADS because it can't use Active Directory protocols for this kind of purpose. And if I just go to my NT4 domain controller, lists, so here we have a new one, my workstation, just joined NT4 using these calls. So this is just a very neat interface and just make things very comfortable if you just don't need to care about, oh, is this actually supporting Active Directory or whatever. You just need to have one string, which is the domain name, which can either be the DNS domain name or the NetBIOS domain name. Of course, there are always these restrictions. If you take the DNS domain name for joining, then of course you need to have a proper DNS setup beforehand, so you need to have a suitable DNS server and etc resolve.conf. And if you're using the NetBIOS domain name, then you just need to have your domain controller in your NetBIOS broadcast scope otherwise, or you should need to have a Win server. But these are just the limitations which you would have with the old join code as well. So let's just continue. So actually we demonstrated how we can easily join with just an empty or almost empty smb.conf file now with Samba 3.2. How is actually joining going on in Windows? Of course, everybody knows about this GUI. You just go to your workstation, press right-click and the properties, and then you will see this dialog where you can change your computer name. and just enter the appropriate information in there. But the, on Windows, there's also another utility provided, which is called the NetStorm Join tool. Initially, I thought it was always installed on all the Windows workstations just after installation, but apparently I have it because I was installing one of the resource kits or something. So there's, it might be a chance that you need to just look up the web where Microsoft provides this utility. I guess it's the support tools or the resource kit, one of the two. So the interesting thing about this tool is then that it has a parameter, I put a red circle on that one, which is the machine name. So if you just leave the machine blank and it will just do what you would expect, it joins the machine locally to a domain. But if you just define another host name, it will then just go to the other host and let this other host join into the domain. So it's just kind of triggering a remote join, which with just providing a couple of suitable parameters. You see the argument list in here. You need to provide, in fact, two set of credentials. First of all, one set of credentials to get to the remote workstation, and then one set of credential the remote workstation will use to join into the domain. So that's this. This was really something very magic, and of course, we really would like to understand how this is working because we had no code implemented for this, neither client or server side. So we needed to. Initially, we looked around the web. Actually, does anybody know how this works? Is there any documentation available? Of course, at that point in time, there was not. Right now, we have, of course, protocol documentation. So all this work that I spent on this one would have gone much faster nowadays. But OK, at that time, there was no documentation. So we needed to get to understand how this works actually by ourselves. We wanted to understand the crypto mechanisms which were used for this purpose. We were really curious how they actually found a safe way to transport the administrative credentials over to the other workstation. And when you just look at the wire, you will just see that it connects to the remote workstation. It opened up one of these named pipes, the workstation service pipe. It calls one call, the netr join domain call, which then has a lot of these arguments that you were actually giving on the command line on Windows. Then there was also one argument for defining an account organizational unit, which is then used to just join that remote workstation into a specific part of your Active Directory environment. So really some very fancy stuff. And yeah, what you see here is basically the Wireshark trace window showing the request, which is sent when you call this Windows tool, and the reply. And in between, you have more than 200 packets going on. So this remote workstation then gets very active and tries to identify the domain and creates a machine account, sets passwords, so all this stuff. It even gets a group policy initial, I think. And it won't return after 40 seconds. So you see on the second bar, this is really keeping the workstation very busy. So when you just type this command, you can just really go, OK, expect that this just takes a long time. Always depending on how well the network is and if the remote workstation is able to use DNS and stuff like that. So one of these, the only completely unknown encoding of attributes that we were seeing on the wire was this encrypted password buffer. You see it there, just the fourth last argument in the list. So this was just consisting of a very long buffer of 524 characters, which really appeared to be like randomly filled with all kind of binary stuff. So really no structure you could kind of understand immediately. So how did we actually then try to understand this? So we had, of course, this in time before, this wonderful SMB torture environment with lots of crypto tests and a lot of understanding, a lot of implementation of difficult mechanisms of encoding passwords remotely for example, password set and all these kind of stuff. So I inspected and looked at all of this stuff and came up with, okay, I think for the first 516 bytes, I'm pretty sure I know how this will be structured like. It will just be the maximum password length, which is 265 characters. Two times this length because it's a UTF-16 encoded string, in fact, always plus a 4-byte length field, so this gives the first 560 bytes. But then there were these 8 unknown bytes that we just had no idea of. And then if you just look at other users of this 516 buffer encoding of passwords, then most of the time they will have a confounder or a session key or something like this added in the overall structure. And I was really just playing mad, trying to use all possible combinations and looping over a table set of all possible combinations and moving around buffer from the end to the top and stuff like that. And then really after weeks, I came up with the first time the WE error bad password message coming back from this remote workstation. So all the weeks before, there was just always logon failure. So there was something different. So this was really the first small success in the field. Yeah, and then I said, OK, apparently I have found the correct place of the password. So then let's just try with other components I haven't changed so far. And then this was very tricky. In effect, they were just flipping the MD5 update call, which is used for the hashing at some point in the overall crypto algorithm. And if you just flip the argument and you first call it with the session key and then with the confounder, then it was just working. So I was really very happy when we finally worked this out. So then it was just very straightforward to actually write a SMB torture test, which was able to bring a remote workstation into a domain. But of course, if you succeeded to find such a nice feature, you probably don't want to offer this as kind of, oh, you need just to call SMB torture, and then it will bring your remote workstation into a domain. You most probably want to find a more suitable place. And on Windows, when you just browse the net and look for, OK, network domain join, you will very quickly find the implementation of the net join domain call, which is part of the net API library on Windows, including information and a lot of parameters which look exactly the same way like the stuff we were seeing on the wire. So I said, OK, this will be a suitable place. Let's just start a libnet API on Linux using the Samba infrastructure, which was just around over there. So we came up with the idea we will offer just the same interface as on Windows, exactly the same argument names, the same call names, the same error code even, to make it really just look right from the early beginning. So for this purpose, this library was designed. And yeah, we were using Piddle auto-generated RPC marshalling code for this everywhere. And then if you just look at what these calls do, in Windows there are a tremendous amount of those net API calls, really dozens and dozens. They are just very tiny, very few arguments. And for example, if you just do net user add, you write an application, and even on MSDN, you will find example applications calling net user add, just having a host name, I think, and a buffer field, a level field, and that's it, basically. So just one call in net API, and if you look in the network, it will do open up the sumr pipe, the name pipe. It will open, it will do a connect, it will enum the domains, look up the domains, open the domain, create the user, query user info, get user info, set user info. So all these calls, two times, for always request and reply, just in order to create a user on a remote host. So we needed to just look at the SNFs and then just implemented all the exact same calls with the exact same arguments so that we can really come up with a compatible API. So one of the required steps before we were able to do this was to make sure that we have a proper infrastructure in place. And of course, we wanted to use the Samba 4 IDL definitions, which were just around everywhere. The problem was just that we couldn't use this Samba 4 IDL infrastructure so easily because all this marshalling of RPC calls was just done by hand. So we have implementation of all these RPC calls with hand done marshalling. So it's a very error-prone scenario, has us caused us a lot of security issues and trouble in the past. And really just switching over to auto-generated RPC code was really the solution. But you can't just import this kind of auto-generated stuff. You need to fix all the callers. And once you do this, you also need to fix the entire server code. And this is what then kept me busy for a couple of weeks as well, to transform the LSR, SUMR, NetLogon, DS setup, and service pipe to Samba 4 auto-generated code. So this was really taking a long time, but right now we have pretty much the exact same function and member names. And so we are looking quite far more closer to the Samba 4 RPC server stuff than we did with older Samba releases. So as I also already mentioned, this libnet API on Windows always has a server name as the first argument, which is used to distinguish whether this net call is executed locally or if a remote workstation is contacted and the call is executed there. So all the calls have a server name field in the beginning. So this is used to distinguish where this is going to happen. We needed to follow this approach as well so that we can just come up with a net join domain call. If you leave the first field empty, it will just join the local workstation. If you put something in the first field, it will go out in the network and connect to a remote workstation, which is then joined. Yeah, so this is the list of calls that we have implemented so far. It's not the same amount like the Lipid API calls in this likewise environment, but we are just constantly extending the list and adding new info levels. So this is just a very easy job and a matter of doing. We even have a modified Piddle version to auto-generate most of the wrapping around this net API call stuff, so it makes it quite easy to work on this stuff. If you now look at the header definition of this net join domain call, just at the end of the slide, you will see the arguments that it takes are really just very clearly understandable. You, as an application using this, linking against this library, you just don't need to have any understanding of all the complexity behind this call. You don't need to take care about name pipe implementation, remote connects, whatever. All this is done internally using this Lipnet API. It makes things very easy for the caller, certainly. So once we had this call implemented, of course, we needed to provide an example utility just for testing purposes as well, of course. So this is all available in December 3.2 source code in Lipnet API examples. In this directory, you will find a couple of examples just doing all just being demo being there for demonstration purpose mainly. But in fact, they just do what they are supposed to do. You can use this call to just join to a domain. We also have a net DOM join utility, which was, before I started to work on this library, was the first implementation of that one. That one even takes the argument reboot, which is quite funny because you can then just join a remote workstation into domain and automatically reboot it after it has succeeded to join. So also very handy tool maybe. Yeah, so then of course we would really love to have actually server-side implementation and server-side support of this, but for this purpose we just needed to get all this join code, this going out on the network, creation of a machine account, password set and stuff like this. We needed to get all this code out of the net utility, which was just statically implemented there, and we for this purpose planned to come up with a library, an internal library, which is not exposed externally, so you can't use it from an external standpoint. A little bit modeled after Semaphore's idea of just putting a lot of commonly used functions for creating users or whatever into libnet functions. So we have a libnet join in Semaphore 3 just for this purpose. It will take, this one uses IDL as well internally, just to display its the input and the output argument list. So right here you will see if I just call netads join with the debug level 1 switch, it will just print out all this information that it will use to join the domain. It will just print the DC name if you have given him one, and the admin credentials. The password is not printed in the production version. This is just on my laptop. And then there's a couple of flags which, in fact, control the way of joining a remote and stuff like that. So if you succeeded to join, the utility will come back with a structure like this. Just very easy for debugging because there's always an error string field which is then filled up with a meaningful error string why part of this join process, in fact, has failed. And it will also return a proper error code, of course. In this case, it succeeded, so it's just okay. Yeah, so we wanted to have service support for this entire thing, certainly. And we have an initial implementation of this right now in Semaphore 3.2. There are a couple of requirements for this to work, of course. One thing is you need to provide admin credentials. This is, in fact, not enforced by at the protocol level. You could just go to a remote workstation and say, just join, I don't give you anything. But we, in fact, really require to have credentials. Not anyone can just come to us and join us into domain, of course. It needs to be a member of the domain administrators or local administrators group or someone having a special privilege for this, something we need to document still. Yeah, and then, of course, once we implement this, we need to take care that, in fact, everything will just write out of the box afterwards. So we need to do some post-processing probably. One thing, of course, is the idea that if somebody comes from a remote workstation and joins us, there should be probably kind of a default WinBind setup or something we need to come up, or we should probably go out and modify the Kerberos configuration file. So this is really the next step for this implementation. But unlike likewise, where they just kind of control the entire behavior of your workstation after you joined, we are trying to come up with a more flexible model, which in fact will allow you to we will probably just provide upcalls to scripts, giving you a very well-documented parameter list with list of KDCs, a list of Kerberos server, and information like this, so that you can, or vendors in particular, can come up with their own really operating system dependent implementation of post modifications. So this is stuff we're going to discuss, and we will do more work in this area, of course. So let's just go for a demo again. I would like to show you how, in fact, you can use Samba right now to join XP into an Active Directory domain, as well using XP to join Samba into an Active Directory domain. So I hope everything will work, but it used to work quite reliable. So first of all, I'm still in this domain. I will just skip this, drop my entire configuration. So this is gone. I will just go here, remove the machine account from NT4 because we are dealing with XP right now. So the first thing is we want to bring this XP box into our domain. We have lib.net.api examples bin. You see we have a couple of calls. The one we are interested in is the netdom join call. Okay, it returns an error code, but that's not important. So we just say, okay, we need to define a host name. So we say XP, and we will provide a domain name, which is this one. And we'll need to provide administrative credentials, like this, password, d equals secret. And then, of course, enable to connect to the workstation named XP, I need to just say, okay, use this one here to get to the XP workstation. So just to make sure I'm not playing any tricks here, let's see what XP thinks it's in. So right now it's just member of the workgroup test. It's not joined to any domain. And if we look on the Active Directory server, you will find no machine account in there. It's just empty. So we just call this. It might take some time, so as I already explained, we should probably just start a sniffer so that we can see a bit more what it's actually doing. It's quite normal that, in fact, it takes just time. So I needed to set long timeouts before doing all these network calls so that we didn't expire before waiting for the reply. So oh, okay, successfully joined. Good. So let's just refresh the computer's container, and we will see, oh, there's an XP object in here. And if we go to the XP workstation, close this tab, oops, open it again, and we'll see, voila, we're now a member of this domain, and we are supposed to restart the computer in order to make these changes effective. So that's quite neat. So everything it just takes is this small utility. And if you look at the source code, this is really extremely straightforward. You could just kind of write any application which is just used to do this. All of this, so what you see above, this is just PopT wrapping of arguments and stuff like this, just in order to come up with some useful usage warnings. But the real code doing all of this is, in fact, just this. Right, so we were just able to join this XP box into Active Directory. We ourselves, we are just still not member of anything. We are just still a standalone host with an empty configuration entirely. So right now, let's try the opposite. Use this XP box, start the command line. See that we have this netdom join utility with tons of arguments. And I hope I can remember this list. Domain, okay, I'll try. So netdom join. First of all, I need to define the host name of my workstation. That's this one. I say domain double point this one. User O, that's the credentials used to connect to my workstation. So don't loath about my remote root password. User D. Now these are the administrative credentials. Administrator. Password D is secret. Yep, that should do. Okay, the command completed successfully. We just look at this again, and as we have this set, we want to store this information inside of the registry. We'll see we have been joined remotely. And if we go to our Active Directory domain controller, refresh this view, you will find our computer account in here. If we just say, okay, does this really work? There's this netads test join. Yeah, so we are just fine. So another thing which is quite interesting is this organizational unit argument. We can, in fact, use this in order to create the machine account in a specific place. Let's just remove the XP workstation again here and say we have a Samba XP test organizational unit, just an example, and say, okay, we want to make sure that this host is actually created in that one. So we just say OOK equals Samba XP minus test, DC equals bear, DC Red Hat, DC equals com. I should probably have reset my VMware image, because usually joining twice after another sometimes might cause problems. We'll see. Yeah, okay. It's kind of confused that I'm trying to rejoin again. Let's just reset. This is just a snapshotted VMware image to make it easy for me to just go back to the unjoined state. I will just reset it right now. Should go fast, hopefully. Yeah, so here we are. Back to the old state. Let's just call this again. Yeah, so we are seeing on the network that it's actually really busy doing stuff. So here's there was the request coming in. It looks apparently for the domain controller. Sometimes these ARP requests just make things slow in VMware. I never really figured out why. Right, but now it's going fast. So you see a tremendous amount of calls are triggered by this remotely. LDAP calls, NetBIOS calls, RPC calls. In fact, what we are just interested in is this one. Okay, the response is there. Successfully joined. So we go to the domain controller again and refresh our view. Now we have the machine created in this particular organizational unit using just Samba client utilities. So one is in computers and one is in Samba XP test. So this is the kind of stuff you can make with the current technology we have and with the current abstraction. So let's just go to some final thing I'd like to show you as well. Yeah, we've seen all this. Of course, we have all this abstraction right now. We have these shared libraries and all this kind of stuff. And although we aren't really good GUI programmers, in particular not me, because this was my first GUI application I've ever written. Let's just try to show it. So we come with a netdom join GUI, which is kind of looking in the same way like it will look on Windows. And yeah, we just provide the same features. In fact, I'll just say, okay, this is an example comment or something. Just press apply. And if you call test parm, you will see, okay, this will have now, this is an example command in it as a server string. Oops, no, that's the wrong one. So it's again here, And okay, I say, no, I don't want to be in this domain. I want to go over here. It will ask me for administrator privileges, in fact, to delete my account from the domain. I just press OK. Welcome to the test group. You must restart your computer, blah, blah. And yeah, okay, there are some GTK warnings, but it's not crashing, it's just a warning. So don't ask me what's going on in there. If we go back to the computers folder, you will see, okay, we have really removed our machine account entirely. If we go back to the dialog and say, okay, I need to exit once. I just call it again. We are now a member of the workgroup test. We say, okay, but now I want to be a member of the NT4 domain. It should just work in the same way. Yeah, so we are now a member of the NT4 domain. Yeah, so it still shows me some bizarre warnings. Let's go to the NT4 domain controller, refresh the view, and now we are a member of this one here. Let's remove it here, and let's show some last thing I added very recently to this one. Okay, first we just go to whatever, Samba XP. We do not provide credentials, we just don't care about our machine account right now. So we are a member of the workgroup Samba XP. And let's say, okay, today I want to be a member of my old domain domain again, but I would like to pre-create my account in a specific organizational unit. I just give it the administrative credentials, and the application will, hopefully, yeah, will come up with a list of joinable OUs which are existing on my domain controller. Like I say, okay, I want to create my account, in fact, in this JBoss organizational unit. I just press OK, I am joined, blah, blah, blah. And if you go to your Active Directory domain controller, refresh the view, there's nothing in computers, but there is a JBoss organizational unit where this account has got created. So it's a quite useful tool, and in fact, sometimes when I just need to join a domain for myself for some experiments or whatever, I almost always use this GUI because it's just working so well, and I just hate command line utilities and always prefer GUIs. Right, there's just one last slide I would quickly show you. So what are our plans, in fact, for this, and where do we want to continue? Like, as I already mentioned, we would like to be more able to do all this stuff which is required after you successfully joined, like modify your Kerberos configuration, your NSS switch and PAM configuration as well. We have some ideas, we have some initial implementations of this, but we needed to have a lot of more conversation with actually our users and vendors. It would be just lovely to have write support for the ASMB.conf backend. In particular, this GUI will just work if you have the registry backend. Because if you just modify some strings in there, the server command or whatever, it just needs to have a way to write this into the configuration file. And libsmbconf right now will just write into registry. But I guess that Michael will provide, or think about at least, the write support for the file-based smb.conf file. Yeah, then of course we have a lot of plans for this libnet API. One of this, which is probably not too difficult, is that we would like to provide Python bindings so that you can just write a Python script for joining a domain or remotely joining a domain or whatever, or to use one of these other calls that we have implemented, like net user add and stuff like that. Yeah, then there are some features which we quite have yet understood, like there's an ability to remotely set a machine account password using this API calls. We just need to figure out the details on that one, so there's some stuff to do. So. I hope you enjoyed it, and thanks a lot.
Thank you. As always, we have just time for one question.
Yeah, sure.
Don't let you get away without it. Anyone?
No questions.
Okay, thank you for being very punctual.
Yep.
Right on time.
Right.
Okay, we will have the next speaker in about 3 minutes, I guess.